Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello, and welcome back to the Metro Raleigh Business Radio Show. This is Anne Ravel-Petcher, your host, in the studio today with Reed Powell, my producer. Hello, Reed.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being back, and thanks for making it through that horrendous tropical storm. I'm not going to call it a hurricane. I sat outside during the whole thing. I can tell you it wasn't a hurricane.
Yeah, we didn't get it here. You got it in Wilmington, though.
We got a little bit of wind and rain. But I guess that's where it all starts, right? We're happy to welcome to the studio today Ian Henshaw. He is the CEO of the Open Data Institute of North Carolina. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you very much, Ian.
This is going to be a fun show because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what open is and what it means to different people. So we're going to talk a little bit about open data today. What is the Open Data Institute?
Well, the Open Data Institute started a couple of years ago in London, England. Sir Tim Berners-Lee,
who
you might know from the start of the World Wide Web, and Professor Shalbach charted it, basically. They got a grant from the English government to start the Open Data Institute. And the goal of it was to bring best practices of open data. There's so much open government data being provided. And the question is, how is that? How is the best way to look at it? How is the best way to analyze it? What are the specific talents you need in terms of training people?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Open Data Institute was created to be the center of best practices in how government should bring open data out, the advantages it could bring, and also a training center for training open data technologists to become the people that will help bring open data to the rest of us.
So we needed an Open Data Institute because what, data was closed?
Yeah, most government data is closed, and it's available in most government servers. There are, like, North Carolina has a public records law, and
yes,
we can request that data, but you have to go through a process of asking for it, and mm-hmm. there's some process of or time to get that data. So open data, it would be data that you don't have to ask for. It's just available. And you can access it any way you want. It doesn't cost anything. And if it's in a machine-readable form, it's easy to use and easy to reuse. And there should be a minimal license on it so that you really don't have restrictions on how you can use that data.
So there are certain kinds of data that should be open and certain that shouldn't be?
Well, yeah. So open data, by its definition, would not have, say, personally identifiable information as part of that, or security information, or some confidential information, things like attorney-client privilege type things in terms of confidential information. Those sort of things are not open data. And the reason is open data should be so easily accessible that you can get a hold of personally identifiable information through public records requests, but there are unintended consequences when that information becomes so easily accessible that people's privacy really starts becoming impacted. And, and our program is to get the data open that brings the most benefit to society without impacting individual privacy.
What kind of data might that be?
Well, it could be a lot of different things. It could be, say, bus schedules. It could be.
Well, let's hope that's open.
Yeah. Well, and it could be budget data from former municipalities, how they're planning on spending money and how they are spending the money. It could be, say, locations of roads and fire hydrants and maybe weather data, GPS data. There's a lot of different data that's available that does not have personally identifiable information or security information.
So does the work that the Open Data Institute, the work that you do at the Open Data Institute, is that work specifically about government data?
A big part of it is government open data because there's a very large amount of data there. There also is an effort to get companies to open data sets, data sets that are not proprietary to them, and there may be advantages of people being interact with that data by having it opened up, that they can actually get some advantage in their business of taking data that would be closed that they wouldn't normally give, but then if they make that open, they can get some advantage in society, can get some advantage from having that data as well.
You have to have a really creative thinker on your executive team. to be able to, I would think, prove to the people who own the business that there's something in it for them to open up that data. Is there a movement afoot here?
Well, yeah. So the open data movement has started several years ago, and the Open Data Institute was created was kind of a necessary step to help bring all this together and make sure that there was some group guiding the best practices and best principles of it. There are some very creative thinkers. From our standpoint at the Open Data Institute in North Carolina, Jason Hare is our director of open data, and he is definitely an evangelist for open data, and if you get him talking about it, it's very hard to get him to stop talking. So he's very enthusiastic about the potentials that you can have. So from a business standpoint, he's definitely the one that can convince people that this is a great thing to do.
So let's talk about how you came to North Carolina.
This started,
not you personally, I'm sorry. We can talk about that too if you'd like. But what's most interesting, I think, is it started in London. It started with, you know, money from the UK government. Now you've got a node? You call it a node.
Yeah, so we're a node of the Open Data Institute. And as part of the charter of the Open Data Institute was to look at how they could become a template of an operation that could be duplicated around the world. There are barriers. If you want to travel to the Open Data Institute, you have to fly to England. So that's not an inexpensive prospect. So be able to take that and create this node network where now we're bringing the information closer to the people that are actually using it.
Excellent.
is a great idea. And about 2 years ago, there were a lot of things going on in the Triangle about the same time, and Jason Hare actually was the one that approached the Open Data Institute about opening a node here. But Raleigh started an open data program a couple years ago as part of their Innovate Raleigh. They passed an ordinance to be an open source city, and part of that they started an open data program, which Jason Hare is the manager of that open data program. And so from his standpoint, developing the open data program, and then I was involved in some other things, and we kind of joined up and brought the Open Data Institute officially to North Carolina.
So in North Carolina, obviously this was a Raleigh initiative, and you live in Raleigh, right? Is the Institute in Raleigh?
Yeah, the Institute is in the Triangle. Let's say we don't have an official office yet. We're still looking for some funding and that sort of thing.
That's good, that's good.
But so we are in the Triangle, and the nexus of what's going on in the Triangle with respect to open data right now is in Raleigh. So in effect, we're probably in Raleigh. Yeah.
So the city was interested in having open data.
Yes.
So the city of Raleigh has a policy of open government or is working towards such?
Yeah. So there is, I'm not a Raleigh resident, so I know some of the background, so I might get it wrong. But that's a caveat there.
Okay.
In case somebody listens to this and says, hey, Henshaw got this thing wrong. As part of wanting to make Raleigh an attractive place for startups and to become known in, I think, one of the top five companies of where to innovate and start companies. So the government, as part of that, created this open data policy, which was, and open data, if you think about it, is the fuel for entrepreneurism. If you can get a hold of all this data, what can you do with it? What kind of products can you make with it?
Yeah.
From either something to help civic society in general or something that can be commercially available. And there's lots of examples of those, which we could get into.
Mm-hmm.
So they started this program and really, it was kind of an open-ended, we know this is a good thing, and how do we do it? And Jason was really the one that put all the bits and pieces together to make it a very vibrant program. And I think now they've got over 500 different data sets up on their open data portal.
Oh, wow.
That you can access, again, free of charge and at any time you want.
So how do you work with municipalities and governments? Do you actually work directly with them to help them understand how to be more open? Or what does the Institute itself actually do?
Okay, yeah. So the Institute, there's several things we do. One is we do work with governments to bring best practices and examples of what governments have done, not necessarily here, but other places, that have had some great impact on either the efficiency of the government by using open data, services to their constituents by using open data, and also developing a climate where you get a entrepreneurial workforce and support that kind of economic development activity through creating companies from using open data. And I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
That's just fine. So why the triangle and why now?
Well, you know, the triangle is you know, developing into an entrepreneurial hub. There's a lot of people here that see the progress, the start from the Research Triangle Park over 50 years ago to all the developments going on in Durham and Raleigh with things like the American Underground and Council for Entrepreneurial Development, HQ, and all those things are building blocks of a community that will ultimately rival places like Boston and Austin and Silicon Valley.
Sure, absolutely. You mentioned a little bit ago that Raleigh declared itself the open source city.
Right. And
part it's of no that longer the city of Oaks, I guess.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's both. but since Red Hat is located in Raleigh, and it's a very major open source company, that they, by these monikers, it just gives them the... I guess it lets people know that
they're committed.
Open, they're committed. They're open to business for entrepreneurial and interesting activities like that.
Super. So you had mentioned that you have some examples of some companies that are being created because there is an open data institute. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah. So, well, there's actually a list of 500 companies that use open data.
All North Carolina companies, you mean?
Not North Carolina companies. So this is GovLab publishes a list of companies that use open data as part of their business. And right now they have 500 companies that are listed there, and they use it in many different ways. But if you look at the types of open data, say the weather data, the NOAA weather data, has always been an open data set. The government, when they created that was available for free of use. And it drives about, I think the estimate is about a $1.5 billion a year industry in weather forecasting, in insurance products, and a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah.
GPS data was made available by the government. And there was a study a year ago, I think there was a company, Light Squared, that wanted to do some, they wanted to use some of the satellite frequencies that were right next to GPS. They did an analysis of if it was affected and the GPS became disrupted, what would be the disruption in the economy? And the estimate was on the order of, $100 billion a year, something like that?
Oh, wow.
Of different activities that are represented by or created by GPS data.
And so without having access to that open data, we would potentially have gone down a very dangerous road.
Well, we wouldn't have the industries we have now. The data was made available. Who knew what would happen, you know, 30 years ago or whenever that data was made available. And so the type of tracking things you have, the mapping things we have right now, all those things have become available. Nobody anticipated that when the data was made available. So that's the same idea. All the rest of the data that the government has, if that can be made available, we really don't know exactly what it's going to be, but very creative people will find some useful things and will help the economy and our quality of life.
Who would you say is your customer?
Our customer as the Open Data Institute is several. So the municipal governments are one, and then industry is another. And academia as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So how can they use data and just in going about their business and publishing stuff, research and those sort of things? They come across a lot of data, and the question is that available?
Yeah.
As, you know, closed data that nobody else can see, or is it available as things that other research can look at.
How do you, this has got to be a daunting question for you. It's just, you know, right now you don't have a huge staff quite yet.
True.
So how do you reach these audiences and let them know you exist to support them?
Yeah, well, part of it is using the Open Data Institute network that's already built from
that's part of the benefit of the node.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we're building on the brand. And then the other thing is we've started a series of Friday lunchtime lectures, which is something that they do in London as well. So every Friday at lunchtime, it's kind of a lunch and learn. We meet over at the Governor's Innovation Center, downtown Raleigh, and we provide a program of some nature with a tangential topic to open data. It may be licensing, it may be public records requests, it may be things like metadata or, transport or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how did that start integrating with open data? And what part of that topic can bridge into open data? So it helps people that are not specifically interested in open data to see where open data might start impacting their industries.
So you're looking, again, for creative thinkers to attend those. People
sure.
who are looking for, you know, what could be the next thing we could do?
Absolutely. Well, the good news is they're free. So you just have to, at this point, bring your own lunch because we don't have a sponsor to provide lunch. but it's a good program. And then afterwards, the presentation decks and we take a video of the session. So those are all actually available on our website.
Excellent.
So if you're not able to make it, you're able to log in there and get the content as well.
Super. So what are you doing when you're not busy doing this? You got a few other hats.
Yes, I have many other hats. And it's, people have told me I'm kind of a platform.
It's the Ian Henshaw platform.
Yeah, the Ian Henshaw platform. But there's many different things and they all kind of work together. So how I got into open data, we had started a think tank for technology policy and implementation strategies and a lot about how municipal governments are mm-hmm. using technology. And one of the biggest issues there was open data, and that's why I got involved with open data and met Jason. We started doing an open data day in what started in Cary 2 years ago. And, you know, not knowing how big this was, we thought we'd throw up an event in a couple of weeks. If we got 6 or 10 people, it would be wildly successful. Well, we had a week and a half before the event, we had cut off registration. We had 80 people wanting to attend, a waiting list. And we did some education part and some tools for some of the technology-minded people of how, you know, things like databases and different things like that, how that can be used in open data. So knowing how interesting that was and how popular it was, this year we did an open data day. It was branded as Triangle Open Data Day. And we had 300 people show up.
Wow.
And we again had a sold out and a waiting list. So
this
people
is are figuring out that this is really an important thing.
Yeah. And it's there's a lot of demand for it. A lot of people want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because why we have very talented, creative thinking, technology minded population here, a lot of people want to know more about it and how they can use it to do new and interesting things.
The one question I didn't ask is probably the easiest one to answer. What's the difference between open data and open source?
Okay, yeah, so there's what we call, there's three opens. There's open government, there's open source, and there's open data. Open source has to do with software, and it's a licensing strategy where all the code is made available. So open source is more about software and code. Open data is more about data. And so you can actually do an open data program on an open source product, but you don't necessarily have to.
Okay.
So they're really two different things, although the concept of being open is kind of the same, whether it's open data, open source, open standards, open licensing. It's this whole philosophy of making a lot of things available to people so that they can use it and create better things faster.
Yeah. Now, you're a nonprofit, right?
We have not decided yet, so we're just recently formed. We can still file as a nonprofit, and there's some discussion in the nodes whether we should be a nonprofit or whether we should be ruthlessly commercial.
Well, I've always liked Ruth. So don't be too ruthless. Well, how, if people are really interested in this, how can they get involved? What can they do? And how can they become supportive of you?
Sure. Well, to get involved with Open Data, there are many different Open Data portals. So Charlotte is putting up an Open Data portal. Mm-hmm. Asheville has an Open Data portal. Raleigh has an Open Data portal. Wake County is looking at, they have an ongoing program for Open Data. Mm-hmm. Durham and Durham County are going to have a program. So
sounds like we got to push to the east. We need some over on the coast.
Yeah, but so this is, it's coming, yeah. and so you can get involved by downloading and seeing what type of data is available on some of these data portals. You can request different data to be on the data portals if you see something missing that you want to do as a company, or maybe as a civic activity. You need some sort of data to do what you want to do. There's also a lot of activities there in this area. Gosh, there's, you know, startup weekends, and there's a Data Palooza project, which is ongoing, which is using open data to create commercial entities. Mm-hmm. That the first one was last year, and this year's the second year that's running. So, you know, in the Triangle, we have our Open Data Day. There's really many different ways you can get involved and find out about it.
And where do they go to learn more?
They can go to our website. So our website is theodinc.org, and there's a lot of information there. And you can also go to the ODI website. It would be theodi.org.
Gotcha.
And that has a lot of training material available as well. And part of what we're trying to do is make that training information more appropriate to the American market.
Cool. That's great. Well, this has been really great. Thanks for opening us up, if you will, to the opportunities that exist out there. And I just really want to thank Ian Henshaw from the Open Data Institute of North Carolina for joining us today on Metro Raleigh Business Radio. This is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off. Until next time.